One idea to fix the housing market: turn foreclosed homes into rentals.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Good morning. Bank of America has a new plan for borrowers who can't afford their mortgages. Get homeowners to hand over their deeds in exchange for debt forgiveness and start renting the house back at market rates. It's a pilot program for now, but something similar is already happening. According to Bloomberg Markets Magazine, private investors are buying up foreclosed properties by the bushel and renting them out at a profit. Senior writer Ed Robinson interviewed the investors, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell us exactly what is happening when it comes to these big investment firms trying to make money in the housing market right now.
Well, these firms are taking a look at the huge wave of foreclosures that have been coming out in the market since the 2007-08 crash, and they see an opportunity to convert those foreclosures into rental houses. And so some entrepreneurs and some early kind of wildcat investors have seized on that opportunity and are buying hundreds of homes stretching from California all the way to Florida.
Now, when I read your story, I sort of didn't know what to think, whether I should think, oh, good, the market has come up with a way to boost demand in housing, or, oh, no, the speculators are going to destroy the housing market again. What do you think?
I mean, I've talked to consumer advocates, and they do like the idea that formerly empty houses are now occupied, and that's kind of good for everybody. It's good for the community. It stabilizes prices on a certain block and so forth. That being said, there's a lot of red flags because speculators come in. You don't know how committed they're going to be to remaining landlords, how much control are they going to have on the occupants. So there's some trepidation too.
So is this the kind of thing that is going to have an effect on the overall housing market right now, or is this still a kind of just a small niche thing that's going on?
No, it already is. We see in California housing prices, they are stabilizing in places like San Bernardino County in the Bay Area. We're seeing a similar phenomenon in Phoenix because investors are becoming buyers. They're going in, they're buying up foreclosed housing stock. They're already having an impact on stabilizing prices and taking inventory off the market in those areas.
Ed Robinson is senior writer with Bloomberg Markets Magazine. Thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
This week marks the official start of spring, but it already feels like summer for much of the country, and that has farmers thinking about planting corn early, as Iowa Public Radio's Sarah McCammon reports.
Farmers are tempted to get started now, but if you plant too early, you won't get federal crop insurance if something goes wrong. Riley Lewis raises corn, soybeans, and hogs in northern Iowa. He says the first day for farmers in his area to plant is April 11th.
I can see April 10th that there'll be a lot of farmers with their tractors running. So on April 11th, everybody can get in the field and get going if the conditions are right for it.
Riley says timing is everything. Farmers who start their crops early could beat the summer heat or get bitten by a late frost. Richard Cruz is an agronomist at Iowa State University. He says some farmers will take a chance and plant early anyway.
It's like catching the bigger fish. The person that catches the biggest fish probably put the most cost into it.
Sure, there's a lot of risk, but if farmers gamble right, they'll be sitting on a huge crop of corn and soybeans. They can sell at some of the best prices in history. In Des Moines, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in overseas trading this morning, down about 0.5% right now in Paris. Congress sent the Stock Act to President Obama's desk. It bans lawmakers from making stock trades based on non-public information. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell another 78 points to close at 13,046.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Tax day is a little more than 3 weeks away, and while you're trying to determine what happens when you subtract line 35 from line 43 on your tax form, you might ask, why is this so complicated? Isn't it time for some tax reform? Well, Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell has wondered the same thing, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So it seems like whatever happens in the next year politically, that after that point, there is going to be some significant tax reform coming down the pike.
And everybody loves tax reform, major tax reform, Jeremy. I mean, have you done your taxes yet?
I did do my taxes, yes.
Okay. I'm doing mine this weekend, and I know I'm going to get frustrated with all these deductions and credits and loopholes and phase-ins and phase-outs. So everybody loves major tax reform, and so you'll get these discussions. And here is my, benchmark for when people talk about major tax reform.
Yeah.
And I've been testing it. I've been testing it out. So when I go out for dinner and we had a table and, well, I'm a lot of fun. So I always bring up major tax reform. I'm a good guest, right? And then, and everyone will go, yeah, we have to have major tax reform. And they'll go off about, this is so complicated. And I'll say, we got to get rid of that mortgage interest deduction. That's just terrible. All that is we call it a tax, but it's real government spending to support housing. And, this kind of chill comes over the
they don't like that
dinner
idea.
Party. They don't like it. Charitable deduction? Let's get rid of that. That's a big loophole. And this employer exclusion that supports the healthcare benefit? Yeah, that's got to go too. And all of a sudden, people don't like tax reform that much. And this is the issue. Everybody loves major tax reform in the abstract. So when a politician, a legislature, a think tank, anybody says we have to have major tax reform, you come back and say, okay, what are you going to get rid of? What is going to really change? I don't want the verbiage. I want the concrete examples.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
And finally, to Limavady in Northern Ireland, the birthplace of the song Danny Boy. According to the Belfast Telegraph, one lawmaker there wants to play that song over the town's loudspeaker every day at lunchtime.
Oh, Danny Boy. The pipes are calling.
Must be time for lunch. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
Down the mountainside, the summer's gone.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.